and welcome back to the Dreamcast. I am your host, Denise Walsh. I combine science, scripture, and stories that will inspire you to dive deep, break through your own personal glass ceiling, and design a life of your dreams. I believe that we can thrive in all areas of life at the same time. But where do we begin? Personally, financially, spiritually, relationally? And often because we don't know where to focus, we do nothing. At least that's the space I lived in for several years. I know what it feels like to constantly be spinning my wheels. And that's exactly why I created the Dream Life Daily Journal. After working through the Dream Life Action Planner, we need to do something every day so we actually take steps in the direction we desire. Throughout the years, I've developed success habits that have helped me to create a Dream 10 life in all areas by focusing on one area at a time. And I teach you exactly what to do each and every day in the Dream Life Daily Journal. You'll find a gratitude game every day to start the morning off right, a space for prayer, meditation, journaling, a space to write down your clear and intentional dream life goal with affirmations and visualizations connected to that goal. You'll then have a spot to write down your dream life action to-do list so you can be intentionally taking action towards your goal every single day. I know that by completing the Dream Life Daily Journal every day for at least 30 days, you can create momentum. And when you do that, my friends, you can live your dream life too. Check out the dreamlifetoolkit.com or Amazon to get your copy of the Dream Life Daily Journal today.
Big welcome to the Dreamcast. Oh, you guys, I am so excited about our next guest because here's the deal. It really doesn't matter where you come from, what you've experienced, your family life, the ups and downs that you've had. When you make a decision to go after your dreams and you do it wholeheartedly, the how starts to show up. Our next guest is the creator of the Consistent Profit Tree System. He helps business owners increase profits while spending less time at work and more time with their families. He is passionate about helping kingdom business leaders become more fruitful so they can make more impact and leave a greater legacy. And I love his message because we want to grow thriving, lucrative, impact-filled businesses and live a life that we love. And that is what us dreamers are all about. We say yes to it all. We are thriving business owners and we thrive in our family life. So I cannot wait to hear a bit of his story as he lived in Africa until the age of, well, he'll have to tell the story. He'll have to tell the story because I'm excited to hear more. So big Dreamcast welcome to Benson.
Thank you so much, Denise. I am so delighted to be here. And thank you so much for having me as a guest. And you are obviously my host. I really appreciate that. And for everybody who is listening, it's a great honor to be able to serve you today in the best way that I can.
Well, we are excited to hear a bit of your story. And so one question I have, it says here in the notes that you used to live in Africa. So tell me a little bit about your native homeland and when you came to the States and some of the aha moments you had throughout that transition.
Awesome. So I was born and raised in Cameroon, which is in West Africa. Cameroon is obviously a small country, so most people don't know about it, but we are neighbors with Nigeria, which is a much more popular country. So I gave my life to Christ at 1990. And at that time, I really believed that if anybody was connected to Christ, all their problems would be solved, everything would be fine. I still believe that. But I went ahead and tried to bring so many people to Christ. But as I was doing that, I quickly realized that there was still a lot of struggle economically. Most people who were going to church were still struggling financially. And I thought, okay, maybe if I go and become a pastor and really help these people know more about God, we'll solve these problems. So I went ahead and became a missionary pastor. So I left my home country, Cameroon, and went to Nigeria. pastor for several years, but I still saw the same phenomena. People were coming to church. I taught them how to pray. I taught them how to read their Bible. I taught them how to fast, but they were still struggling to put food on their table. Personally, at that time, I was struggling financially as well. So I said to God, I said, there should be a disconnect. How can a rich God have poor kids? You know, everything I read in the Bible, it says you created the whole universe. How come your children are always struggling, you know, financially? And when I said that, he said, do you want to solve this problem? I said, yes, that's why I'm asking the question. And then he said to me, he said, go back to school and study business. And the moment I had business, now, if you know anything about business in Africa is synonymous to corruption. So you have to bribe, you have to do all kinds of shenanigans to do business. So the moment I had go back to school and study business, my first reaction was, get ye behind me, Satan. What has a pastor got to do with, you know, with business? But it was just a mindset thing. And later on, I really discovered that it was God asking me to go back to school and study business. So I said, okay, God, I want to go to the United States of America. And I had no bank account, no passport, nothing to start with. I was just there. So I started telling people that I have a dream to go to America. And everybody was laughing. So where are you going to get the money? You don't even have a passport. But I really believed in that dream. And I resigned from my position at that time, went back to Cameroon. And I knew somebody who was in the U.S. at the time. He had been a member of one of the churches I pastored. So I sent him an email. I said, you know, doctor, God has put a dream in my heart to come and study business in the U.S. Which schools do you recommend that can teach me business with a biblical foundation? So he sent me two colleges. One is called NIAC College, and the other one is called King's College. Both of them are in New York. So I looked at the two applications, and I just said, I'm a king, so I'm going to the King's College. So I applied, and the rest is history. So I eventually transitioned to the United States on 2nd of September, 2003. And ever since, had great education, and I've been using that to help people in the marketplace.
Ooh, I went on a mission trip to Tanzania. No, it's not true. Swaziland. I've never been to Tanzania. We flew into South Africa and then drove to Swaziland and spent 10 days working with a ministry group there, a missionary group there. So we did home visits and went out into the community and worked with families and things, went to their community centers and did some things with the kids. And it was a really eye-opening experience how, you know, 2 hours away, there's a bustling city with lots of life. And then in this one town, they don't even have electricity. And so it's just a really interesting spot to be in. And I can imagine that you becoming a Christian and having this newfound hope, this newfound view of the world, you know, it sounds like you're like, everybody needs to know about this. Everybody needs to know about this. And so I kind of call that the holy discontent. Like this, it shouldn't be this way. You know, it shouldn't be this way. I see these people coming to church and praying and, you know, really seeking and asking for help. But yet suffering still exists. So what else can I do? And that holy discontent, when we can tap into it, that ends up being our motivator when things get tough. Because I have to imagine coming to the United States, going to New York, you know, it wasn't all easy or smooth sailing from there. But that holy discontent, that little like spark that was lit with you when you were in Nigeria, kept you going. So tell me a bit about how you now use your business degree here in the States to work with people back in Africa.
Again, I work with people all over the world, Africa included. Most of my work currently is in the United States, of course. You know, have done some work in Canada and in the UK. So the principles that we use, one thing I love about those principles is, and Denise, you do a great job with your podcast. Your podcast is about using scriptures and science. And part of the reason why we call the business Profit Tree is these principles that work anywhere in the world. A tree doesn't bother if the economy is poor or the economy is good. A tree is going to grow. A tree doesn't really discriminate. Whether you're a black person or you're a white person, whether you're a man or you're a woman, if you take a car, if you take a seed, an apple seed, for example, and you plant it out there, it's going to grow. The seed is not going to say, well, you know, Republicans are in control or Democrats are in control in Congress, so I'm not going to grow. No, there's no, the tree doesn't care. The only thing is seed respects is the universal laws that God has put in that seed. So anybody, irrespective of age, irrespective of sex, irrespective of color, irrespective of background, if you take a seed, and in this case, we're talking about business, and you plant it, and you are consistent in doing your own part, then God is committed, you know, to do his part. And you plant that seed and just make sure that there are no weeds growing around it. God is going to make sure that the sun shines. God is going to make sure that the rain falls. And I guarantee that seed is going to grow. So that's the exciting and the amazing thing that we do in the business, to give anybody of any background, of any country, the ability to tap into this universal laws of God, and these laws will work for them.
Do you feel like those that were back in your church in Nigeria, and really here and here in the States as well, who may go to church and may be praying and maybe, quote, like trying and not seeing results and are still struggling, are they missing these universal laws and really are not creating a great environment for the seed to thrive?
Absolutely. Because there are two parts of working with God. You have the life of God, which qualifies anybody who has a relationship. Then you also have the principles of God. Now, the principles of God are different from the life of God. You can have a relationship with God, but if you don't follow his principles, you are not going to benefit from them. On the other hand, we have people in the world who do not currently have a relationship with God, but they tap into the principles of God and they are still successful, because those principles do not discriminate. Just like the sun will shine on anybody, whether they're a sinner or they're a saint.
Yeah, it's like the law of gravity. It just
exactly.
is. It's just how it works. And
exactly.
when we learn how it works, oh my gosh, your eyes are opened and you're like, here we go. Let's so fun.
Absolutely. So anybody listening to me who has a relationship with God, but is still struggling financially, is still struggling to grow their business, I can say with certainty that they are either ignorant of the laws, or they know the laws, but they fail to apply them consistently. Because one of the things I've seen in working with entrepreneurs is many of them know what to do, but they do it occasionally instead of consistently. I mean, somebody knows the end of the month is coming. They really need some money to pay their bills. So they know Denise has been telling them to market, and they don't do it until towards the end of the month, maybe around the 25th. They know the rent is coming due. They go out, gung ho, you know, do the marketing, do the sales, get a few customers, and then when they pay the rent, they go on a little vacation again on the 1st, right up to around the 20th. So they are going roller coaster in their application of these laws instead of doing it consistently.
In our network marketing team, we would always say, start each month like it's the end.
Yeah.
Because you're exactly right. The push through the end of the month, and then everything kind of resets every single month. And we were like, we need to keep that urgency all throughout. So what are some of the universal laws that you teach about that you've seen when applied consistently can help create a big shift in business?
The one that I want to focus on is the law of sowing and reaping. Different people call it different ways, but obviously I'm a Bible person and I know you are, and many people listening. Genesis 8:22. It says, so long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will never cease. So sowing and reaping will never cease. It is our responsibility to consistently sow, the value that the marketplace needs. And the marketplace in this situation, I'll call it our ideal customer, is the soil. The seed we have to sow consistently is the value that we provide, the problem that we solve. And if we are doing that on a consistent basis, so we are sowing, we are lead generating, and then we are following up consistently. Different industries have different, I'll call them conversion cycles. So there are people that if you sow a seed, you provide a value, you tell them about your product or service, it might take 30 days, it might take 60 days, it might take 90 days. The highest I've seen in most industries is 90 days. For you to move from sowing that seed, following up, and having the harvest or having the customer. Well, even if your conversion time is 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, if you sow consistently Monday to Friday, you are generating leads on a daily basis. Even if your conversion time is 90 days, after I would say, if you go through the cycle of 180 days, seed, time, and harvest will begin to happen simultaneously. Because the people you talk to on the first week, you know, they are converting on the 14th week. The people you talk to on the second week, they are converting on the 15th week, assuming that you go through the whole 90 days. But it's not an exact science. Some people convert faster depending on where the source of the lead is coming from. So anybody who really taps into that law of sowing and reaping, if they do the sowing consistently and they follow up consistently, there shouldn't be any reason why there will not be a consistent flow of customers and therefore income and profit in their business.
I love this because when I was growing my business with network marketing and really kind of in momentum with our company, I remember feeling like my job is just to add value. As I add value, I trust that the money will come. And so I had to be loud with my value. You know, it's not that we're just hoarding it to ourselves. We're telling people what we have. We're asking if they're interested. We're finding those that have that are like in our niche and adding value to them and showing them that we can help them meet their needs and we can help them with the struggle that they have. We're being loud with our value. And the louder we are with serving, the louder we are with adding that value into the world, I find that the people start to come. And you're exactly right. When you're generating leads every day, you are closing every day because you have people in every single part of your funnel. You have people that are new, that are just like kind of cold, getting to know you. You've got people in the warming phase where they're starting to fall in love with you and that like, know, and trust factor is building. And then you've got the people that are like, yes, I'm ready. And you'll have people say, yes, I'm ready every single day because you're adding people consistently to your lead funnel. So what are some ways that you recommend people primarily in, I guess, the service-based industry products or service, either one, to add value? What are some good ways that they can do that consistently?
First of all, they have to really know their customers well, investing the time to know the customer well, because it's difficult to add value if you don't know the target market well. That is number one. Number two, I seriously encourage people to, even if they have many services or they have many products, to really make one the main product or service, the one that people are going to know, the market is going to know them from. You know, Denise, I've never gone to a tree and I found mangoes, guavas, apples, watermelons on the same tree. Every tree on the face of the earth is known for one fruit. So when a business makes one product or service to become prominent, then it will be easy for them to add value in that area and attract the ideal people in that area. And so they won't be trying to serve everybody, but they'll be serving the people who really value that fruit. If my tree is a mango tree, I am going to spend a lot of time looking for people who really love mangoes. You know, because I know those are the people who are going to benefit the most from the mango that my tree produces. But on a general spectrum, one of the easiest ways that any service business or any product can add value to any client base is to help them save time. Time is one of the most valuable assets that we all have. We cannot increase it. We all have 24 every single day. Unfortunately, a lot of people spend theirs or waste theirs instead of investing theirs. So no matter what service or product you are offering, if you can communicate to your clients how that product or service is going to save them time, boom, you're adding value.
So good, you guys. Write these down. Number one, know your customer. Number two, focus on one thing. And number three, help them save time and show how your product or service can do that. I want to give two examples really quick from my own story. One is when I am in network marketing, right? We've got a plethora of products. We've got health and wellness, you know, a pamphlet for weight loss and skincare and all this stuff. And so it can be really easy to think, I am going to market to men, women, ages 18 to 80, because our products are going to help everyone. But what we know, right, is that if you help talk to everyone, you really talk to no one, right? And so we learned over time to focus on one package. It was called the Skinny Pack. It had three products in it, and it helped you get this tangible, specific result quickly. Mm-hmm. Quickly, faster. It's going to save you time. And when we focused and doubled down on that one product, that one package, Our team grew. Like, our team doubled down because we were attracting the right people who were ready to say yes. And it really helped to clarify our messaging, because instead of focusing on skincare one day and a cleanse the next day, we had one product or one package that we focused on again and again and again and again. We became really good at that. The second example I want to give why this works is because when I started expanding and writing books and journals and doing some coaching programs, because I thought not everybody wants to join my team, but everybody needs this information.
Yes.
I ran into the same thing. You know, my husband, who's a marketer, would say, well, who are you talking to and what are they getting? I'm like, they're getting whatever they want, and I'm talking to anyone who wants it. This is my clinical psychologist in me. I'm like, what do you need? I'll help you. Whatever it is you need, I can help you. But I learned over time that that's not a great marketing strategy. And so What I had to do was simply decide, who do I want to talk? Because I could talk to anyone, right? Yeah. I could help whoever you are with whatever need you have. But who do I really want to work with? I had to decide, who do I want to work with right now? And become really good at that, focus on one created program to create streamlining in my messaging. And of course, I've got a couple other programs they can jump into once they're in my world, but Focusing on 90-day U-Turn, which is a self-sabotaging program that helps you to get out of your funk. And, you know, I call it a loving kick in the right direction. Focusing on that one program has allowed me to scale my coaching business because it's clear. And I think that even though we've got big hearts in this business, right, guys, you're in a business because you love people and you love everybody, you want to help them. Your message really needs to be clear and decisive. And it's not a matter of even discovering who your dream client is. It's a matter of deciding who you want to work with. So then you can tailor everything around that. So what Benson just mentioned here is gold. And I can't even imagine, if you're sharing this gold with us now, what is in your book. So tell us about your book, The Business system that never fails?
The business system that never fails came about. I wrote this book in 2013. And the passion behind that was, okay, statistics show that over 90% of businesses in the U.S. fail within the first 15 years. So there's a sector that fails within the first 5 years, another sector. And when you put all of that together, within 15 years, 90% of businesses that fail. And I'm sure you know this in network marketing and in your leadership development. There are people who start and for whatever reason, the road becomes very tough. They fail. They either go back to a 9-to-5 job or they say, well, this is not for me. This is not working. So I started saying, I mean, with all the technology in the world, why are so many businesses 90% failing within the first 15 years? So I went on this journey to really find out, okay, is there a system out there that if anybody applies in their business, it'll prevent them from failing? That was what really led me to write that book, to write this book. Of course, I discovered that, yes, there's such a system, you know, out there, that if anybody will apply it in their business, they are going to, I would say, put themselves in a failure-proof environment, in a failure-proof category, if they just apply there are three simple sections that I put here in the book. If they just apply those three simple sections, these sections will affect any business, irrespective of what the business is, what the industry is. So that is what led me to writing The Business System That Never Fails. And the principles that are in the book, you know, form a system. And anybody who really applies them will, I would say, bulletproof or failure-proof their business. So they are not in the category of the 90% failing after 15 years.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, as you mentioned, there are those, and I used to be this way too, that don't know the universal laws and are just ignorant of that. And so step one is learning about them. What is this process that will help me to be bulletproof in my business and have insurance, success insurance, so to speak? But then also it's the applying it consistently, because you can know and still not do it. And I think that that is where we get to support people in learning how to do it. What is it, so that I have the knowledge, but then also the accountability and the community to actually implement what they're learning. So how are you working with businesses now to help them to grow, scale, and experience success?
Number one is really to define a clear destination as to where they are going next. I know you're a very successful woman, Denise, but I'm sure there were times when you were doing a little bit here, and then the following year you did a little bit more, and then the following year you did a little bit more. So all of us, irrespective of where we are, every single year, we really need to move to the next destination. Because the reality is, if you are not growing, you are dying. So the first step is to really identify what is that profit, what is that next profit target look like? What is that specific number that the business wants to achieve? I just finished doing a planning session with one of our clients. And last year, they did 6 million. And so we said, okay, they did 6 million in revenue and they did 1.4 in profit. And I focus a lot on profit because for me, that is what really gives the business the value that it's really supposed to have. Because what is the use to have a lot of income, but there's nothing left in the bottom, you know, at the end of the day? It doesn't make sense. So we define a clear profit target. Okay, this is what we want to achieve in terms of profit. And that will also enable us to know that, okay, if you want to achieve XYZ in profit and your profit margin, I'll just give a quick example. If somebody wants to achieve $10,000 in profit, That's a small number, but I know it can be a big number for some people. And let's just say their profit margin is going to be 10%. It simply means they really have to generate an income of at least $100,000. The only reason why they won't generate an income that is at least $100,000 is if for some reason their profit margin goes up to 20%. Then now they don't have to make $100,000 to stay with $10,000 profit at the end of the year. So once we have that clear profit destination, then depending on the business, we look at several profit maps, depending on where the business is. Because if I am in Dallas and I have to fly to New York, my route is going to be a little bit different from somebody who is in Boston and is also flying to New York. So depending on where the business is, the route they are going to take to arrive at that destination is going to be a little bit different. So we designed five, I call them five principal maps that are based on the five profit maximizers. And after those five maps are designed, then we now pick the best one, the most efficient one for that business, depending on where they are. And that is a map we use to navigate them from where they are today to that profit destination by the end of the year or within a defined time frame. We typically want to go sprints of 90 days, 90 days, 90 days, 90 days. So that is, in a nutshell, the simple methodology we use when working with businesses.
I love that. Well, and what you're doing is you're helping them to create a roadmap. And once we have a clear roadmap, we kind of set our internal GPS, we know where we're going. In fact, I'm doing kind of a year, beginning of the year training this next month on January 3rd. And it is going to do similar, it will be in a group setting, but we're going to go over the year. And then we're going to reverse engineer how to hit that year-end goal by hitting quarterly goals on the way. And what you're doing is you're really helping that CEO or that business person to create that clarity and that roadmap. So then they don't have to think anymore. They're just executing boldly. Because I think one of the things that stops us, at least for the clients I work with, is second guessing themselves, one step forward, two steps back, I don't really know. And so then I do nothing, or, that goal seems so far away and now I'm paralyzed. And so you're kind of taking all of that out of kicking it to the curb by helping them to create this game plan. And then
absolutely. And one of the other things that is so unique in terms of what we do, and we started doing it based on what we're seeing our clients struggling with. And Denise, you've mentioned it many times in the podcast when you're interviewing Dr. Nadia and Sarah, is having that system to consistently implement the roadmap. Because if you are going on a journey and you drive, 5 kilometers and then you stop and then you wander around and then you drive again another 1 kilometer and you stop, then it's going to take you a long period of time to really arrive at the destination. So we put a system around the map that they are supposed to follow. So now everybody in that company, from the CEO or the leader, the business owner, to the receptionist, whoever is all the people in the team, they know exactly what they should be doing every day, every week, every month, every quarter. So it is so clear that, even if you are Stephen Wonder, you'll be able to see that this is what you're supposed to do on a daily basis. So that reduces the time they actually invest at work. Mm-hmm. And it causes the workplace to be very, very inviting, because people come to work, they know exactly what they have to do. They do it and they go home. So they end up working less because the system is a lot more efficient and they can spend a lot of time with their families. Yeah. And for the leaders who I've worked with, who kept saying, I know I should be spending time with God, but I don't have the time. So we freed them from all the complexity. So they now have fewer hours they're investing at work, and they have more they can invest with the families and with God.
Yeah, amen. Because we don't want to be rich and divorced. Burnt out. And you know what I mean? And I think there's two people I'm going to talk to, the network marketing leader and then the coach who's growing their business.
Yes.
It cannot rely on your energy alone, right? Yes. And so if I'm having a bad day, that will impact and domino effect and impact the rest of my business unless I have systems set up to keep things moving regardless of, you know, if I'm sick or tired or, you know, going on vacation. I mean, you want these to be kind of self-running machines. And so for network marketing, you've got your leaders, you've got your team trainings, you've got, you want to create a system that doesn't rely on you. And I think the same for coaching. I hear people say, I want to start a coaching business, but I want to be sure that I can scale it and it's not just like a pigeonhole on me. And so we talk a little bit about how to hire coaches and how to have these systems in place. So, you know, you can go on vacation because that's what we do this for. We love what we do, but we also love our life and we want to be able to do both well. So I love that you incorporate that because that's like the kind of like bumper bowling when they have the bumpers up and, you know, the business keeps growing. It's not going to go in the gutter because it's going to keep rolling because the system is what makes it rolling.
Absolutely. And every tree has the exact same system. Because if you plant an apple in, I know you live in Michigan now, you plant an apple, the apple is going to follow the exact same system to grow there. You plant an apple where I am living in Dallas, it's going to follow the exact same system, you know, to grow. That's the beauty, you know, again, of having those systems that you've mentioned in place. And it makes it also possible to scale. Because you can start with one seed, and before you know it, you have an apple orchard, and before you know it, you know, you can just keep increasing and increasing and increasing. So it's just a matter of really duplicating the same system over and over again, as in the analogy of a tree.
Well, I want to circle back to your time in Africa. Do you still have family there? And yeah, have you been back recently? Like, tell me a little bit about your connection with your homeland.
Yeah, Africa is still a big thing in my heart. I still want to go back there and do some work. But I wrote a book called Faith and Development in Africa. I wrote it with one of my business mentors who passed away. And when we went there, the last time I was there was 2006. We did a presentation to presidents, government ministers, and church leaders. And it was really talking about the role of faith and development, which was really, okay, many of you have faith in God, but there are also systems or principles that we need to put in place for development. So I am really looking forward to working with government leaders and business leaders. Business, of course, is my main call. But business leaders and government leaders to really eradicate or change the poverty status of what is happening in Africa. So on a global or national level, that is how my involvement is, you know, at this point. So I relate with people who are there. Family-wise, I came from a big family. My father had 14 kids. So at this point, we have lost 4 of them. And then I have a sister who lives here in the U.S. in Baton Rouge. But out of that, every other person still lives in Africa. My dad passed away, and my mom is still alive. So I stay in touch with my brothers and sisters, just knowing what is happening there, and seeing what I can continuously do to be of help and support to them. So that's how my involvement is at the family level and at the national level.
I love that. Well, and what do you think is the differentiator that made you say, I'm ready for something different and really seek out schooling in the United States to keep your growth going? Do you feel like there is, you know, it's not that they can't be thriving in Africa. They certainly can be, you know, making a big difference where they are. But do you feel like there's a stirring that you had that brought you to the U.S.? I don't know.
Yeah. Again, I was just I hate to see people suffering, Denise. I hate to see a world that is full of abundance, some people just living by scraps. And when I see a problem I want to solve, I want to know how to solve it, not just once, but systematically, just like you said, the law of gravity. I want to be sure that if I jump from a story building, I'm going to go down. So that was the hunger. That was the hunger that was in me. Okay, I want to know how to solve this problem, but I want to know how to solve it on a consistent basis. And for some reason, I've known that the U.S., with the way it has developed, the way they put their trust in God, I mean, is the only currency in the world that says in God we trust. So I knew there was just something special about the U.S. and the environment here, that if I had education here, it will enable me, be in that environment, also see what is working that can also be applied in different parts of the world. So that was the main motivation. But a secondary one is, Denise, whenever I have a dream, I go big. Because if I don't go big, I have excluded God from it. You know, when I go big in such a way that there's no way I can achieve that dream without the help of God. So if I just said, I'll go to school in Nigeria, I'll go to school in Cameroon, yeah, that's a small thing. But I went bold and I say, you know what? I don't have a passport. I don't have a bank account. America, here we come.
Oh, it's so fun to look back on our lives, right? And see where God has just shown up. We're like, I don't get it, but I accept.
Yeah.
Well, and I love what you said about small businesses too, because truly small businesses are the lifeblood of a great thriving economy, because they hire local people. And it just keeps the money back in the community. And I feel like them as a solopreneur, essentially myself, growing a network marketing team and then a coaching business from my office here. I've gotten to know a lot of entrepreneurs in our local area, and supporting that small business and really helping them to scale is a great way to grow that local economy. So I know that you have a freebie for our listeners, and you guys, Benson has given us so much value already. I hope you were taking notes, but he's actually offering us a copy of his book. He's going to send it to you in a PDF, and you can go to consistentprofittree.com/ebook, consistentprofittree.com/ebook, and I'll put that in the show notes below. So you can grab it. You guys, when people tell you they have a system to bulletproof your business and to basically ensure your success, you get it. And then you read it. And then you implement it consistently, because that is what successful people do. Successful people leave clues. And so follow them and duplicate them. And guess what? You'll experience that success as well. So I have two last questions for you. The first question is, entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. You know, we make it sound kind of easy, like all you need to do, but I call it a mindset program with compensation attached. And so what are some things that you have read along the way or that you listened to that were big aha moments for you that keep you going?
How is it the number one book I want to recommend? It's been around for a long period of time, but I see many people read it, but they don't implement it. It's a book called The Greatest Salesman in the World by Ock Mandino. The Greatest Salesman in the World by Ock Mandino. That book has what he calls the 10 scrolls. Anybody who reads the book implements the 10 scrolls the way he laid them out, they should never have any fear, to sell. We all go through challenges as we move from one level to the other. Nobody's immune to challenges, but it's so well written, and the principles, the way to apply them is really, really, really good. So that is a book. It's not a big book. It's a small book. easy to read, easy to implement, the greatest salesman in the world by Ark Mandino. So that is the first book I recommend. The second one I want to recommend is not as old as The Greatest Salesman in the World. It's a book by Don Miller. The title is Building a Story Brand. All of us who are in business are really helping people be a part of their stories and help them solve a problem. And the book was, you know, in my understanding, well written. I've read it several times. And I believe that anybody who reads it will be able to clarify their message properly and tell their story properly so that, you know, customers can really listen. So that is the second book. And the third book I want to recommend, again, no matter what level of business you are, but people who are also in senior leaders, leadership positions, building big businesses of multi-millions, it is the four disciplines of execution. Four disciplines of execution. It has several authors. One of them is Sean Covey, the son of the late Stephen Covey, who wrote The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So four disciplines of execution. Very, very good book when it comes to implementation. Because those of us who have gone to business school or who've been around business, it's a lot about strategy out there, but very little in execution and implementation. And that's where you actually get the results. So those are the three books that I will, highly recommend that, you know, people read. Those are the three books that have made a big difference in my life, besides the Bible and my own book, of course. You know?
Well, just so those that are listening know, I just went to Amazon and The Greatest Salesman in the World is only like $7. So definitely easy to get. And if it makes that big of a difference, I just ordered it. All right. So one last question is, what is one thing you do every single day to keep yourself motivated in the game that you really just couldn't live without?
That one thing I do every single day is to submit my calendar to God. The GPS knows all the destinations in the world, and you can have the GPS in your car, but it is your responsibility to enter your destination into the GPS. The GPS is not going to do that for you. And once you enter your destination and you hit submit or go, then the GPS now will start giving you direction. So when I submit my calendar every day to God, I give him the full permission to give me direction throughout the course of the day as I navigate my day hour by hour. Now, not everything in my calendar happens exactly the way I want it to, but when things do not happen the way I thought they should happen, it gives me comfort that God redirected me because I submitted. And it gives me a lot of peace when I do that submission. So that is one thing that I do every single day. And for me, when I submit that to, I've actually died to myself because I'm not giving God the permission to edit my calendar, to redirect me and just lead me.
So is this just a prayer where you say, all right, Lord, I give you my calendar. May the right people contact me? Or like, how do you do that submission?
So I use two sets of calendars. Anybody can do this. It doesn't matter what software you use. I use a Google calendar and I have one calendar I call budget. So before the day begins, I budget my time as to what I'm going to do. For example, in my calendar from 8:30 to 9:30 Central Time, I was going to be talking to Denise. So that's my budget. So I have a budget calendar. And so that's the calendar I submit to God. And I will say, I'll go something along the lines of, it's a simple prayer. God, here is my calendar. The activities I plan to do, the people I plan to talk to. If there's anybody in this calendar that I'm not supposed to talk to today, help me or help them to rearrange. And if there's anybody or any activity I'm supposed to do today that for whatever reason I've omitted in my budget calendar, bring it to my attention. Amen. That's it. And I'll pray that prayer around 8 o'clock. Times people say, oh, I know we're supposed to meet at 10. I'm sorry, I have to reschedule. instead of getting so angry that they are rescheduled on me, I just say, thank you, Lord. And then at times, you know, somebody will bump into my office unexpectedly. They are not on my schedule, or I'll meet somebody in the elevator on my way to my office. My office is in the third floor of the building. And then we'll start a conversation. That person, I didn't know I was going to meet them. And then I end up spending maybe 15 minutes with them. That's what I call my Samaritan moments. The Good Samaritan, of course, the story in Luke chapter 10. So that's how simple it is. I live on that every single day, and it's made a big difference.
I love that. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. All right. Well, Benson, thank you so much for listening to that stirring in your heart years ago. You know, not just saying, well, that would be nice if somebody did this, but you saying, all right, there is a suffering here. And it became your holy discontent. You said yes to it, and the rest is history. Years later, you are domino affecting and impacting people all around you because you had the courage to go after your dreams, to number one, dream them, and number two, go after it. So you guys check out his free ebook at consistentprofittree.com/ebook. I definitely know I'm going to snag it. We all need information that we can absolutely execute to grow our missions. So thank you, Benson, for your time today, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much, Denise, for having me.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. I want to hear your aha moment from today's amazing episode. If you could leave a review at whatever podcast player you choose to listen from, Apple Podcast, CastBox, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening from, leave a review and share with us your favorite part of today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And remember to dream big.